Mark 6 and beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. I went out last night for a meal with a couple of friends, quite a courageous thing to do only on a Wednesday, but nevertheless that seemed to be the evening that would work best for all of us. And it was very funny how different one's friends actually are. One of them, her life is totally sorted. She's been a good friend for many years, and she's been sorted for many years. She's great fun. She always knows exactly how I should run my life. She has no hesitations about telling me. I have this horrid feeling she's normally right, but I'm always blown if I'm ever going to admit it to her more than once a year. And, one can sometimes feel a total failure. And if she was here, she'd say, well, that's probably right, isn't it, on many occasions. The other person is what I would like to think of as normal. Life can be complicated. It's not all sorted. That's how it is. And we need to get on with it and make the best of it. Don't let the more pressurized times get you down, he would say. So as you can imagine, when the three of us meet, it is enormous fun. There's always a slight mutual therapy session for 5 minutes over the first glass of wine, but then we move on to have a really, really good time. As I was walking home from having that meal yesterday evening, I thought one of the best aspects of being a Christian is that it isn't just all down to you and to me, that whatever is happening in our lives, we can seek God's perspective on the situation and the help of the Holy Spirit. I should, of course, under those circumstances, be as sorted as my friend. But as I needn't tell any of you, I'm afraid I'm not. For you know there's hope because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And amidst all the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ makes in our lives, we also have those times when we sense ourselves being challenged about the next stage of maturing as a Christian. And it was such an experience that the Lord Jesus Christ's closest friends were experiencing on the day we've just read about. They had been having a great time. It had been truly remarkable. It was never dull being with Jesus. There were always surprises, always crowds. And they, his closest friends, were at the center of things, with the Lord Jesus doing the most amazing and striking things. And then he took them aside and gave them the challenge contained in these verses. The way it was expressed seems so far from our situation here in 21st century London. But the more we think about it, the more we see that the principles underlying it are as relevant now as they were then. He encourages those who were his friends to seek to grow as believers in three particular ways. Firstly, they were to be the people who embraced the opportunities that were given to them. He sent them out two by two, gave them authority over evil spirits. They'd seen him deal with evil spirits, and now it was their turn. Embrace the opportunities that we face, he was saying to them. And then he wants them to develop their dependence on him, as we read in verses 8 and 10. All the things that they might naturally have taken for a journey, all the ways in which they might instinctively have equipped themselves, they were told they couldn't do. Embrace the opportunities, grow in a sense of dependence. And finally, he wanted them to prepare for those moments when it wouldn't necessarily be easy as a follower of Jesus Christ. Those times when people weren't interested in what they had to say or what they believed, those times when people just dismissed them or rejected all their attempts to speak about Jesus. Those three principles still stand. Embracing opportunities, deepening our sense of dependence, and being prepared for the times when people simply aren't interested in what we believe. But of course, putting them on the spot that day had been part of Jesus' original plans. In chapter 3 of Mark, we read, Jesus appointed 12 disciples that they might be with him and he might send them out. He spent time with them, answering their questions, helping them grow in their trust of him, preparing them for the opportunities that would inevitably come their way. And it's the same model for you and for me. Our resources to respond to the opportunities the Lord Jesus gives us and the hassles that are part of being faithful to him come from the time we spend with him and the quality of the growing relationship that results from those times. Inevitably, of course, when anyone speaks about that, or whenever we think about it, it is so easy to feel guilty. Most of us know we could be better at prayer. Most of us know we could spend more time with the Lord Jesus. Most of us are aware that when we read our Bibles, we don't always close them zinging with spiritual passion as a result of what we've read. But we do know that it is easy to feel guilty, and to feel guilty wrongly so. Because when we pause, it's important to remember life is complicated. It is never as easy as we would like it to be to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves hearing from us, but is realistic about how that will happen. But we also know it's key to moving forward in our faith, as well as making a difference in other people's lives. Spending time with him is vital. So as we read this passage and think, Lord Jesus, that seems so far removed from where I am in 21st century City of London, we sense the Holy Spirit talking to us about our own times reading the Bible, our own experiences and patterns of prayer, allowing us to tell him what's great about that and what needs adjusting. And today, will you ask him, as I ask him, for a new desire to spend time with Jesus, a fresh expectation that when we pause and pray and read the Bible and be with him, that he will do something in your life and in mine that however swift we have to be, whatever the pressures, he understands and is totally faithful.